Broken Bulbs is a proud member of the Create Fine and is produced by Mecco Radio.
I was too embarrassed to say nobody wants to publish it, or it's just going nowhere. So, you know, but I'd get these little reminders from students and teachers. So, but eventually, after a couple of years, yeah, it just sort of dissolved into me never even thinking about it anymore. And I just left it. I kept teaching. I enjoyed teaching, but never really did anything with the novel. I just sort of parked it back in my subconscious somewhere.
Alex Williams here to welcome you back to Broken Bulbs, the show for entrepreneurs, creators, and builders who need to keep it real, which really is all of us. Today, I'm joined once again by Mark Ryle. He previously featured on episode 87 of Broken Bulbs, so be sure to check that out as well. He's taught economics and mathematics for a combined 22 years. He competes in triathlons and even represented Canada in the 2019 World Age Group Championships in Switzerland. But that book, he gave up on it for 11 years after a long series of rejections. That's coming up after the break. Real quick before we get into today's show, I'd like to invite you to leave us a review and share this episode with a friend or family member who you think would get something out of it. We are really trying to push the show and get it out to as many listeners as possible to share the message of we all fail. We all make mistakes, and it's normal, and it's important to talk about it and learn from it. We want to see the show get to 10,000 downloads an episode before the end of the year. Let's see if we can do it. Thanks for your help, and enjoy the show. Mark Ryle, ready to talk about one of your broken bulbs?
Absolutely, Alex.
All right, let's get into this one. This one deals with rejection, something we all understand, at least on some level. And of course, some of us face more rejection than others. For you, it was writing this novel 11 years ago, and it took that long to get it out because of all the rejection. So tell us about the process you were going through here.
Yeah, sure. About 11 years ago, while I was teaching full-time high school, I started noticing a lot of information about genetic engineering and also aging in the news and science circles. So I thought, wouldn't it be fascinating to try writing a novel? I always thought it'd be a cool thing to try to do. And there's my topic, genetic engineering, and maybe how that ties into aging and immortality. So I wrote this novel, and I spent about a year researching it and whatnot, editing it and showing it to a few friends. And I finally had this draft. It was about a couple hundred pages. And I was so excited, you know, sort of self-proud anyway. They called send out a letter to a publisher. So I sent out dozens of these to New York publishers, other publishers in the United States, some Canadian publishers, European. And publishers back then were your main ticket to trying to publish a novel. You had to go through a traditional publishing house. So I sat and waited for responses. And then they started coming in, and it was really just, it was, to be honest, an endless series of rejection emails, one after the other. And you could sort of tell they had not read any of it. It was just more like some would say, well, we're not interested in this topic, or you don't have a platform, you're a first-time author, or we're not ready for something this at the time. But there was never any feedback. And this was the depressing part of it. There was never anybody feedback about, you know, had anybody actually read chapter one? Or there was never anything about, well, we found this topic, this character interesting, but this plot isn't quite. No, it was never about character or plot. It was just sort of almost like a standard rejection letter. So I went from the high of writing this thing and so excited about it to within a few months realizing that this thing that I worked so hard on and was so proud of was going nowhere.
I think we've all had some sort of creative project. If people are listening to this, they're probably creative on some level, whatever it is. And so to see that fall flat, tell me a bit about that feeling of seeing your baby more or less be rejected that way.
Yeah, it took a while for it to sink in. Now, I was at this point a very happy teacher, so my life was going well. It's not that I had a total career crash here because of this. This is on the side, so I've got to point that out. But it still took a while to sink in. I even got a few teasers along the way. Like there was one publishing company, I can't remember, from the States, who actually was interested in my book. And then a couple of weeks later, I got a note from them saying they had just gone bankrupt. So much for that little a bit of hope. So, and then, you know, every once in a while, one of my students or co-teachers, maybe an English teacher, would ask me about how's your novel going? And I would say, I would sort of mumble something like, still working on it. I was too embarrassed to say, nobody wants to publish it, or it's just going nowhere. So, you know, but I'd get these little reminders from students and teachers. So, but eventually, after a couple of years, it just sort of dissolved into me never even thinking about it anymore. And I just left it. I kept teaching. I enjoyed teaching, but never really did anything with the novel. I just sort of parked it back in my subconscious somewhere.
Now, of course, you're here promoting the novel a little bit, right? And so what changed then? How did you learn the lesson and get it out there?
Yeah, well, I think every broken bulb has some serendipity probably attached to it. And in my case, I think there were two things that were fortunate here. First, the timing. Genetic engineering, that whole topic has become a huge hot topic these days, much more than it was 11 years ago. 11 years ago, it was just sort of on the horizon. Like if somebody told you CRISPR 11 years ago, you might think, oh, what's CRISPR? Is that some cereal you buy at the corner store? Is that a pair of tools you use in the garden? No, what's CRISPR? But they were starting to talk about it, but nobody really knew, right? But now a lot of people are aware of what's going on with genetic engineering, CRISPR technology, and it's really at the forefront, and that's what my novel deals with. So in terms of timing, it's much better that it was not published 11 years ago. And the second thing is self-publishing. Back, as I mentioned, 11 years ago, authors depended more on traditional publishers. But now with self-publishing, there's sites such as, I could give a couple examples of platforms. One is called Draft to Digital, which is the one I use. They are excellent. But there's Smashwords, that's another competing site, where you can go as a first-time author, and they will guarantee that they will publish your book, whatever you've written, with any retailers that you choose. So you can put it on Apple, Amazon, Kobo, Indigo, take your choice, set it up. They'll set it up for you. The one thing they won't do, which you would get with a traditional publisher, is the marketing. But again, today, things have changed so that as a self-published author, I can, for example, do a podcast like this. And that wasn't so easy doing that 10 or 15 years ago, doing Zoom calls with schools. It's just so much easier to be a self-published author these days. And so those two things, the genetic engineering becoming a very hot topic now, and also self-publishing becoming a much more viable option now, made me feel that, you know what, I was actually lucky to that they never took my book 11 years ago.
Interesting. So sometimes it's lucky to get 11 years of rejection, to wait for that serendipity and for that moment to arise where now it's possible for you to just go out and make it happen using these awesome online tools.
Well, a couple authors I can mention who never even published their first book until they were much older. Frank, a lot of people have heard of the book Angela's Ashes by the Irish writer Frank McCourt. He wrote that after he retired from teaching. I think he was almost 70 years old, 67, I think. And then the book, The Shipping News, by Annie Prue, she wrote that when she was 58 years old. That was her second novel, but her first novel was only a year before that. So she's, and even in the United States, Harriet Duer, who I believe won the National Book Prize, the National Book Award for her first work, Stones of Ibarra, was 74 years old. So these people, I don't know their stories, but they're probably similar to mine in the sense that they thought about writing, maybe had some good ideas, but it never really came out. They had the right, they found the right time. Obviously, these are great writers. They very successful, but they found the time. They were patient, and whatever the reason, that was the right time for them.
I like that. Sometimes you just gotta, face that rejection until it's the right time. You don't need to do everything right now. You don't need to do everything while you're young. You can practice, you can work, and you can get there eventually. I love that. And of course, at the end of every episode, I'd like to let you brag a little bit, let you tell us about what else you're working on. So tell us about your book and where we can find it and connect with you.
So genetic engineering is a huge topic right now, and I've written a book sort of looking about 100 years into the future. It's speculative fiction, science fiction, but speculative. So it's almost like just trying to forecast, like a futurist. What are they going to do with CRISPR genetic engineering? There's going to be some amazing things that will happen, some very positive things, like potentially curing cystic fibrosis and sickle cell anemia and blindness. There's so many potential applications here, but there are also some, as with any technologies, there's some things that humanity is going to have to be wary of with this new technology. And so I throw in a few Pandora boxes in my novel. And so the novel's called Age Decoded. There's a hyphen in there, so it's Age hyphen Decoded. It's available on retailers such as Amazon and Apple. So if you just type in that the novel Age Decoded in whatever retailer, Indigo, Apple, Kobo, or Amazon, you'll see the book there. So that's I've just published that book, so I'm pretty excited about it. And now I'm gonna think about writing a sequel.
Fantastic. I'm going to have links to all of that down in the show notes and anything else you want to throw out. And with that, I just want to say thank you once again for joining me.
Yeah, and thank you so much, Alex. You got a great show here. I love the theme, Broken Bulbs.
Thank you.
Great job.
And thank you for listening. It doesn't have to all happen right now. Maybe the timing will be better for you later. You'll be able to enter your arena with more skill and more wisdom. Take your time. Life's a marathon, not a sprint. Special thank you to Mark Ryle for joining me once again and being willing to talk about his broken bulbs. Be sure to check out his work, including his book, Age Decoded. I've left links to it in the show notes. He also featured on episode 87 of Broken Bulbs, so be sure to check that out as well. That's episode 87. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review and share the show with a friend or family member who you think would get something out of it. Broken Bulbs is produced by Mecco Radio, and we are, of course, a proud member of the Create Fine. I, Alex Williams, was your host. The podcast artwork is by Bethany Gustafson, and the music we use is by Brian Claxton and Wesley Thomas. Oh, and thanks again for listening. Mecco.